So let's consider guilty pleasures. We've all got them. Those things we love but feel like we shouldn't. And one of the most popular has been part of American culture for decades, reality TV.
What would you like to have happen?
All I care about is like saying yes to my mom, my sisters, and I feel like when it comes to the easiest thing, they won't help me.
We were still living in Iowa the first time Rob Kardashian broke down in a scene that had been clearly orchestrated for a breakdown. Family therapy held in what looked to be a vintage furniture showroom, complete with ornate velvet couches and fur blankets draped over mid-century chairs. Rob had on a black baseball cap, as would become the norm, presumably to hide the creeping baldness, and an oversized black hoodie to hide everything else. He grew increasingly upset at accusations flying his way. He began to tear up as the therapist coaxed him. "You look sad," then fled to the bathroom. His mother and two of his sisters, immaculate in dress and posture, stayed on the couch, stoic. Another sister and the therapist, and I would guess two or three cameras, followed him. The bathroom wasn't huge, so he was trapped, and the cameras were tight on him. The shot stayed mostly on him in profile, newly expanding torso heaving, the lightly stubbled beginnings of a double chin accordioning as he cried. He held a hand towel over his face, and there was that drama of watching someone so closely as they show you how little they want to be watched.
This is Lucas Mann. He's the author of the book Captive Audience, a portrait of his love for reality TV and the person he watches it with. His wife. And after listening to Halima Shah extol the glories of Bachelorette, Bad Girls Club, and Love and Hip Hop, we knew she was the perfect person to talk with him.
So Lucas, why did you watch reality TV?
I don't know. You know, one of the things in thinking about the book, I think I had originally thought of it as just sort of like a look at current obsession or somewhat recent obsession, but it ended up going farther back autobiographically than I had anticipated, into sort of being very much of a generation to potentially be raised on this kind of entertainment. I'm 31.
From Universal Studios Hollywood, this is American Gladiators.
I realized that maybe my first memory of caring about TV was like watching American Gladiator reruns after coming home from kindergarten.
Malibu does get the first shot.
Whatever that sense of stakes was, however ridiculous the gladiators looked, shooting giant Nerf cannons at each other, it felt like lived stakes.
Malibu reloads and takes them off balance again.
You felt like you saw people offering up some sort of maybe ridiculous over-the-top emotion, but still their emotion.
You're never going to defeat 220 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal.
All right, so I want to get real here. You're a professor of creative writing. I work in public radio. We are not supposed to like reality TV, or at least that's what the perception is. How do people react when you tell them that you like reality TV?
There's a certain amount of derision, sort of eye rolling. And then also, I think now reality TV is so ubiquitous and there are people saying thoughtful things about it that there's the weird second layer of questioning of like, you're taking a low form and trying to identify that it's high or whatever. There's like a whole other kind of skepticism, which I think comes into play in the conversations that people have around The Bachelor and The Bachelorette as well.
Yeah, that's what I use to defend my taste in TV. I'm an anthropologist. I'm analyzing this.
Right. And one thing that I consciously wanted to do in the way that this book was written was not hold myself as a narrator with a cultural critic distance. And it was really important to me to write with the potential for my own embarrassment.
Bonjour.
This is the true story.
C'est une histoire vraie.
Seven
strangers.
Picks to live in France.
In a chateau.
Work together and have their lives taped.
The real world. Paris.
For me, I personally cannot watch reality TV alone. It feels like eating cake alone in bed. there's something weird and guilty and indulgent about it. But when I watch it with friends, I feel like I have some character, even though it's so over the top, to either collectively love or collectively hate.
One of the scholars that I write about in the book is a writer named Helen Wood, and she talks about these focus groups in sort of early reality TV watching, where people talked about their reality TV tastes with kind of a language of addiction. I know it's bad, but I can't help it. And I do think it almost, yeah, it feels like eating cake or even drinking, right? Where doing it alone somehow is this extra taboo, but sharing it and being able to have these pleasurable, but you feel ambivalent about it experiences with other people feels like way more of a permission.
Should we be feeling guilty? Should we be simultaneously apologizing when we're telling people that we like watching this show?
No, I don't think so. Again, sort of guilty pleasure feels kind of toothless ultimately. You're professing guilt, but then you're sort of going ahead and doing it anyway. But one of the things that, again, I think is interesting is that that way of experiencing and talking about it has been baked into the process of liking it forever.
So do you think that the producers of these shows, like The Real World or what I watch, The Bachelorette, consciously know that there's a lot of people who are being sucked into this, but they're not feeling too great about it?
Of course. Everybody feels pretty ambivalent about it. Hey, look, this is what it is. I don't feel great about it, but if this is what the masses want, give them what they want.
I want somebody who knows what they want to do.
Great. Then go find someone who I have a mediocre life with.
I would talk to producers who would sort of frame their work as like, well, you know, what I'm interested in is shows that really sort of teach somebody how to do something, not that other stuff, not just people fighting.
Why does that mean I have to have a
Because I will give you an amazing life and an amazing relationship.
But you don't know what you want to do, Peter.
The conversation about how people feel about taking part in this thing and finding pleasure in this thing or profiting off of this thing is fraught for everybody involved. It seems like a pretty self-aware industry to me.
There was a point where you said that some of what you see on reality TV is genuine. I don't think I would ever assign the word genuine to anything I see on reality TV.
I don't know what I want to do tomorrow, because that is one day that means the rest of my life.
I think you can be both consciously aware of the artifice and skeptical, but also have these moments where it catches you with how much you are invited to think or do think that you're seeing some real intimate humanity. I don't think anybody watches something just to roll their eyes. That gets boring pretty quick.
So we have Donald Trump for president, a former reality TV star.
I'm looking for someone who's a problem solver. I'm looking for someone who's a sharp negotiator. I'm looking for The Apprentice.
How much should we consider that when we're looking at him as our president?
First of all, let me say it's very weird to have a book that's being shopped around during that election. And but I think that there's sort of a distinction, right? I think that what made him a particular kind of figure on The Apprentice wasn't just being a reality TV star, but very specifically being this sort of all-powerful judge.
Do you go around calling yourself white trash?
As a
joke
sometimes.
Do you think I want to hire somebody that's white trash?
No. I say it as a joke sometimes.
I don't like it as a joke. You know what, Derek? You're fired.
He was the rare kind of reality TV star that explicitly was never questioned and nobody was allowed to fight with. He was only allowed to make judgments. And actually now his presidency far more closely resembles what an actual reality TV star like Kim Kardashian goes through. Not he is powerful, but he also is dissected constantly in the angriest and most petty ways.
Can you make the case for people who are skeptical of reality TV that they should watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
No. There's a point in the book where I did feel like I was actively trying to make the case for reality TV. And then I sort of got less interested in that. And it just sort of devolved into the sort of weirdness and the emotion of my own experience with it. You know, I have no desire to say that actually the Kardashians are the most important thing in the world. But I do think it is blanket written off more than any form of culture. And I think that that is sort of a dangerous and unproductive thing to do.
Lucas Mann teaches creative writing at the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. And he was talking with Halima Shah, about his new book, Captive Audience, on love and reality TV.